Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 29th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 11. The vision of all this has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed. When men give it to one who can read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot, for it is sealed." And when they give the book to one who cannot read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot read." And the Lord said, "Because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men. Therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder. And the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. Ah, you who hide deep from the Lord your counsel, whose deeds are in the dark, and who say, 'Who sees us? Who knows us?' You turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay? Or the thing made should say of its maker, 'He did not make me'? Or the thing formed to say of him who formed it, 'He has no understanding'? Is it not yet a very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field? And the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest? In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without a blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is written in the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. And the Pharisees gathered to Jesus with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem. They saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. There are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. The Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'His people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. You say, 'If a man tells his father or mother, whatever you have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. Our text for today is based on your gospel lesson, and I'd like to reread just a few words from that. And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." This is our text. A little historical background on our text for today. For we in our culture, you know, we hopefully wash our hands before we eat, take showers at least once a month, hopefully more. So we're somewhat familiar with washing hands and things like that in our culture. But you can't really appreciate until you read through Jewish law the pervasiveness not of washing just to clean your hands, but to make them ritually clean. You know, if you touched the wrong pot, even though the pot was clean, you'd have to ritually wash. And ritual washing didn't have to be that elaborate. It didn't actually have to get your hands clean, you know? I mean, for us, you know, if you tell somebody to go wash your hands, get out the soap and water, rub it real good, you know, and then rinse it off and then dry it off. No, you could ritually clean your hands by just kind of dipping your fingers lightly into a little bowl of water, doing this, and boom, you're ritually clean. But you did it hundreds of times a day. It wasn't a law commanded by God, but it was part of the tradition of the elders. That it's kind of a technical phrase. It referred to some 613 regulations that had been added to the law of God as written in Scripture, supposedly handed down orally from Moses, but never written down. There are others I've shared with you before. For instance, you're walking through a grain field and you're hungry and you want to eat. Well, you can pick one piece of grain at a time, rub it in your fingers and eat it, and you're okay. But if you pick up a handful of grain and do this, now you're harvesting. You're in deep trouble. And that last part of our gospel lesson for today, the whole issue of korban, what was that? Well, you know, back in the day of Jesus, the biggest bank was the temple. If you didn't know that, the temple were often the bankers. And if you put your money in the bank to earn some interest, well, that was now devoted to God. And if your mom and dad were starving because they didn't have enough to eat, well, that's too bad. What I was given would have given to you to take care of you, oh, that's now devoted to God. It was kind of a neat way to not take care of your mom and dad and still make a boatload of money. Hypocrites. You come up with these little rules and regulations that you think are important, but the things that God commanded us to do, you leave behind. And within Christianity and within the world at large, that process is still going on. I've shared with you in other sermons, you know, some of the new modern regulations some Christian churches have. For instance, you know, we as Lutherans, our Kool-Aid has a little bit of alcoholic beverage in it. Germans like a beer now and again. But there are some Christian congregations where if you think that's okay, and if I'm not mistaken, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper with an alcoholic beverage called wine. But in certain Christian circles, there's a new law. But if you do that, you can't call yourself a member of our congregation or part of our fellowship. I remember growing up, we had a family of another denomination that lived across the street, and our kids loved to play together. They'd come over, and we'd do different games. And how many of you remember Go Fish? Raise your hands. Well, our kids loved to play cards. And so one day, as they were over, they said, "Hey, let's get the card deck out. Let's play Go to the Dump," as we called it back then. Brought out a poker deck. Ooh, that was the wrong thing to do. "No, we can't play with that. That would be a sin. But we have a Go Fish deck over at our house. You can come over to our house and play Go Fish with a Go Fish deck." Yeah, even within Christianity, we still have our rules and regulations that we make up. And it's not just within Christianity, although sometimes we get caught up with them. Who'd you vote for in the last election? Oops, wrong person. You are unfriended from Facebook. Have you been vaccinated yet? I'm not asking you. Okay. But man, in some circles, if you say yes, you're in trouble. In other circles, if you say no, you're in trouble. People are literally breaking off relationships with family members over something that is not commanded by God in Scripture. To wear a mask or not to wear a mask, that is the question. You know, if you're wearing a mask, that's okay. It's your right. We're going to respect you for that. And if you don't want to wear a mask, that's okay, that's all right. It is neither commanded nor forbidden in Scripture. And right now, we don't have to mask as we gather for worship. But have you noticed some of the school board meetings on TV? The violence at times that is breaking out. Romans chapter 13, if you haven't read it recently, go read it. Respect those in authority. Doesn't mean respect them only when you think they're right. If the government next week would say we all have to mask, you know what we would do here? We'd all mask up. Some of us would like it, some of us wouldn't. But that's respecting those in authority. Do we disagree with some people over vaccinations and masks and all other kind of things? Yes, we do. But what's the command of God that is operative? Love one another. Even love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Those are the commands of God. Respect, honor, love. that should be guiding and directing our lives. But it seems less and less that's not what guides the way we interact with each other these days. We let our traditions of men, new ones that have grown up in our day and age, become the new rules honoring our relationships. And they've become so important that we can stop loving each other and stop respecting each other. Setting aside the commands of God to keep our traditions. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's not how our Lord defines life. What is it to really live? We get our definition from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who, even though he was in the form of God, humbled himself, came down from heaven, and became our servant. Oh, he could gain our obedience through threats and through violence, lightning bolts, if you like. But as we were reading, particularly from Isaiah, he wasn't out to get lip service. He was out to gain hearts. He did that by sacrificing himself for us, by loving his enemies and giving himself up for our sins, that there might not be any barrier between him and us, preventing us from living with him forever in eternal glory and eternal love and eternal service and respect of one another. That's the life God gave to us. And if we want to really live in this world, that's the way God calls upon us to live. It's not always fun. Ask Christ. Though we may respect others, that doesn't mean they're going to respect us back. Though we might love and sacrifice ourselves for others, it doesn't mean they'll love and sacrifice themselves for us. But my friends, that's what life is. Life living under the command of God, but not because we feel obligated, because our hearts have grown to love him and to trust him and to believe in his definition of life and not the world's definition, wrapped up in power and control over others rather than love and respect. Christ died and rose again to give us a new life. One not defined by our own definitions of what's right and what's wrong, what's important and what's not. But always and only living our lives by what God says is right and wrong, by what God says is important and not important. In this day and age, we need to remember God commands us to love, to respect, even when it's our enemies, even when they're wrong. Because our salvation ultimately is tied to the fact that that is how God treated us. Though we were sinners, he loved us. He sacrificed himself for us. Not to gain power over us or to gain control over us, but in order to enable us to live and love with him forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which indeed surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.